the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He laughs himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. The troubles of his voice, the troubles of his voice. How great
so glad you are all here today. As Pastor Jay always tells us, you are not here by chance. God has brought you here for a purpose. So let's listen to him and hear what he has to say to us. Well, on March 21, 1969, how many of you were born then? A Marine patrol in Vietnam descended on a steep bank to fill their canteens, that is a flask that carries water in a stream. As they stooped in 2 feet of water, the area suddenly exploded with machine gun fire and grenades. Several men were hit. According to an official report, one soldier, with complete disregard for his own safety, assisted several Marines. Despite the heavy fire, he made several trips until he himself was wounded and was unable to continue. Well, 21 years later, one of the men who had been pulled out of the water learned that the friend who had rescued him was still alive. The Marine eventually found his friend. His name was Jim Law, who was now paralyzed from waist down. Well, with a heart full of appreciation, he saw Jim receive a long-delayed and much-deserved Bronze Star. Certainly most of us here, if not all of us, must have been deeply moved by this Marine's desire to honor the one who saved his life. But it shouldn't end there. The Marine's desire to honor his friend who saved his life should make us wonder about our own lack of genuine passion for the one who paid a far greater price to save you and to save me. No one deserves the honor that Christ does. Why? No one has sacrificed as much. No wonder all heaven will praise him forever and ever. So this brings me to the heart of the message God has given me today to deliver to you at this precious hour in your life and my life. So please, I want you to listen carefully to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth and power, is ready and resolved, eager and enthused to plant the seed of God's enduring and eternal truth in order to do what? In order to change those among us here today who are genuine born-again believers more into what? The blessed likeness of Jesus Christ, who is the protector and the preserver of the church, and to convict the unsaved, the unbelieving, of their sin of unbelief compassionately and caringly, bringing them to genuine repentance and personal saving faith in Jesus Christ, who is the rescuer and ransom for sinners like myself. So here's our message in a nutshell. Please, I want you to pay close attention to it, not just with an open heart and an open mind, willing to receive it from God, and then what? Respond to it. That is what God wants to do in us today, to receive the message he has for us and to respond to it. If you want to live here changed, then you must receive what God has for you today and then respond to it. So here's the message in a nutshell. Jesus, the Lamb and the Lord of all, deserves the honor and worship of all. To put it simply, Jesus is worthy of all honor. Folks, friends, faithful followers of Christ among us here today, and fellow believers in the fold and flock, the fellowship and family of God, the Bible is going to vividly and visually emphasize the truth that heaven and earth and all that is within them is designed for one thing. You know what that one thing is for? Is designed for the praise of Jesus Christ, the Lamb and the Lord of all. It will gloriously and graphically exhibit to us the greatest chorus of praise the universe can ever hear. My prayer to you today, for you today, is that as the Holy Spirit opens your heart to receive and respond to this message, not only will you lend your voice to the great chorus above, but you also lend your heart to allow God to do a special work in your heart today and in my heart today. Because we are going to see for us that heaven is solely designed for the praise and honor of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. So please, if you have your Bibles, turn them quickly to the last book of the Bible, and that is Revelation chapter 5. Will you please listen carefully as I will recite our message from the updated. Listen carefully as I recite our gospel story from the updated New American Standard Bible. The Bible tells us in Revelation 5, verse 11. What does it say to us? The Bible begins by saying, "Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders. And the number of them was myriads of myriads, and thousands of thousands, saying in a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and might, and honor, and glory, and blessing.'" Tonight, I hope you can get passionate about worshiping Jesus in that manner. Well, this is the word of God to the people of God. May the Lord add his blessing to the recital of his holy message or holy word. Someone has said that heaven is revealed to earth as the homeland of music. And if I may add to that, heaven is revealed to earth as the homeland of praise and adoration of Christ, the Lamb, and the Lord of all. Revelation chapter 5 gives us a vivid picture of that, as the four living creatures, the 24 elders, and myriads of angels, thousands upon thousands of angels, and every created creature in every part of the universe, to its deepest depths and its farthest corner, all are saying, giving honor and praise to the Lamb, the Lord Jesus. So, Revelation chapter 5, verse 11 to 12 may be brief, but it has so much spiritual food for those who are hungry for it. If you are hungry for spiritual food today, you get it from Revelation chapter 5, verse 11 to 12. And I trust that you are hungry for the spiritual food the Holy Spirit wants to feed you at this hour. First of all, please notice the privilege given to John at the beginning of the verse 11. But you ask, what privilege is given to John? Well, please listen carefully. Notice verse 11 begins by the words, "Then I looked and I heard." John is speaking here about the awesome privilege given to him by the risen, exalted, and glorified Christ to see things in the spiritual or the supernatural realm. Things he had never seen before. You see, the supernatural realm is where reality truly lies. Please, let's not make the mistake of thinking that reality is seen on reality TV shows. That's not where we see reality, my friends. Reality is seen when God opens your spiritual eyes and you see what is behind the scene. And you hear things that only God can communicate to you. So, John sees and hears things in the supernatural realm. Things he has never seen or heard before in all his life. Things none of us here has ever seen or heard in all of our lives. Actually, John would himself testify again and again about the blessed privilege given to him to behold things in the supernatural realm. If you read Revelation, don't miss this point, because John will be telling you again and again about the privilege given to him to see things in the supernatural realms and to hear things from the supernatural realm. He says in chapter 6, verse 1, that he says, I saw and I heard. Verse 2 and 3, he says of chapter 6, I looked and I heard. Then chapter 6, verse 5 and 6, he declares, I looked and I heard. And then in chapter 6, verse 7 to 8, he utters, I heard and I looked. What's the point of all this and more? If I go through Revelation, you see that those two combinations, I saw, I heard, again and again, all throughout Revelation. What's the point of all that? Well, please listen carefully. John is not repeating these expressions in order to help the Holy Spirit fill the pages of the Bible, as if he needed help to fill the pages of the Bible. The repetitions of this expression is for what? Emphasis. John repeats these expressions simply because he is reveling and rejoicing in the glorious privilege given to him to behold things in the spiritual realm, in the supernatural realm, things he could never have seen with his natural or naked eyes, or hear with his earthly ears. Now, remember, while the Lord Jesus was here on earth, he told his disciples something very precious about eyes to see and ears to hear. In Matthew chapter 13, as Jesus speaks one of the parables, he tells his disciples in verse 16 of chapter 13, he says, listen carefully, blessed are your eyes. Whose eyes? The eyes of the disciples of Jesus Christ. Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. So what we have here is that John is now experiencing the ultimate fulfillment of this blessed promise Jesus gave. They saw some things, but now John is seeing far beyond what they saw and hearing far beyond what they heard earlier. Now, for those of you here who are true followers of Jesus Christ, let me ask you this practical question. Do you ask Jesus to open your spiritual eyes and your spiritual ears to see and hear what is true reality? Yeah. Praise God. Do you seek his help to enable you to see things from his perspective? You see, we don't have to be stuck on seeing things from human perspective in this age of what? False news and fake news. If we are just seeing things from human perspective, you'll be swept by all the fake news and the false news. I remember years ago in my life, God wanted to teach me this lesson. I was living in Canada, British Columbia, Vancouver, British Columbia in Canada. And my pastor then, at the time, had cancer. And we prayed for him, and the cancer went into remission. And then a few months later, about 6 months later, the cancer came back. And so the church started praying again for him. We saw God did a work in his life before. Now we want to see God repeat it. So in those days, every month, God takes me away for 3 days just to fast and pray. So I was fasting on the second night. Then I saw this vision. It was a vision of our pastor in a casket. Everything was so vivid. The details were so vivid. And the first time I woke up, I thought, the devil doesn't want me to pray. That's why I got this vision. But I forced myself to pray. But there was no burden to pray for his healing anymore, because God had shown me what was about to happen to him. And within 2 months, he passed away. And you have to remember, at the time, I've never been to a funeral home before. And when I got there, I saw his body. In the vision, I saw half of his body, his hands put on the tie, the collar of his shirt, the collar of his suit. You know what happened to me? I screamed, because everything was so vivid to me as it was in the dream. God had opened my eyes to see what was to be. Not with my own naked eyes will I have seen that. And so I want to encourage you to ask God to open your spiritual eyes. There are so many things around you God wants to reveal to you. But you have to ask him to open your spiritual eyes. And then you begin to see things in the supernatural realm. You'll be walking in step with God. While having concisely spoken about the privilege given to him to behold the things in the supernatural realm, the Holy Spirit now directs John to carefully share with us a vivid description of the participants of heavenly worship. One of the things John consistently does in Revelation is his careful and concise description of the participants, noted that word, participants of heavenly worship. In chapter 4, verse 9 to 10, he describes the participants of heavenly worship as the four living creatures who have eyes all over them, and the 24 elders. They were giving worship at the throne of God to the Lord God Almighty. Now in chapter 5, verse 11, the chorus, remember, first the throne was there, the four living creatures were around the throne, and then the 24 elders were in the next circle around the throne. Now in chapter 5, the throne, the chorus around the throne swells and widens as many angels join the living creatures and the 24 elders, all participating in perfect harmony of worship. The holy angels are seen here giving honor to the risen, the exalted, the glorified, matchless, majestic, mighty, and marvelous Lord of all, Jesus Christ. Notice what the Bible says in verse 11a. It says, I heard what? The voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the 24 others. And the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. Now the number described myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands refers to an amount that is beyond calculation. Actually, the Greek expression can also be translated innumerable or many thousands, too many to be counted or numbered. This vision is similar to Daniel's vision in Daniel chapter 7 verse 10. Where countless multitudes were seen before the Ancient of Days in that revelation given to Daniel. The imagery of having Jesus surrounded with countless angels, the four living creatures, and the 24 elders suggests the infinite honor and power of the one who is at the center of it all. And that is Jesus Christ. It's as if John is saying, at first I look and I saw a company of angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, as they are about to shout out their praise to the Lamb. And I thought that was grace. But all of a sudden, My eyes saw a crowd of angelic messengers I could not count. Nobody could have counted them. A computer couldn't count them either. And John says, I was stunned by the number around the throne. Later in Revelation chapter 5 verse 13, John speaks of every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, all doing what? Participating in the worship of God and the Lamb. It's something I feel like it would be good to see on a movie. First, you see the four living creatures around the throne worshiping God, and then added to that, the 24 elders, and then the angels, myriads of them, and then after that, every living creature is just keeps swelling around the throne. What a day for John to behold all this. Now you ask, what's your point here? Well, please listen. My point is this. We live in a spectator sports culture. We pay big bucks to watch others perform or put on a show for us. Unfortunately, this spectator attitude has infiltrated the church. That is, believing people of God, not the church building. One particular area in which this attitude is so prevalent is in worship. Some Christians, mostly men, rarely participate in worship. After all, the worship team or the soloist is there to do the worshiping for them to watch. But may I say to us today, there will be no spectators in heaven watching others put on a show for us. Oftentimes, Kitty invites you to join worship at the beginning of the service. Why does she do that? Well, it's because she wants you to be what? Participants in the worship. Not what? Spectators. I tell you, friends, in heaven, everyone is a participant in honoring and worshiping the Lamb and Lord of all. Chuck Swindoll says this, and I quote him. He says, in worship, we become preoccupied with the Lord. We don't watch something happen. We participate in it. It is a coming to a place in our life, either alone, with a few, or with many, where we connect with the living God. Unquote. So my question to you is, are you a spectator in worship or a participant? My friend, I do not know why you want to go to heaven if you do not participate in worship and praise of Jesus here on earth. You will not be part of the heavenly worship chorus. Now the Bible convincingly speaks of the passion of the participants of heavenly worship. Briefly but brilliantly, John depicts for us the passion of the angelic host worshiping before the throne of God. The Bible says in the first part of verse 12, saying with a loud voice. Literally, saying with a great voice. Now, my voice doesn't match their voice, so I know I would need help. Now, the word translated great voice or loud voice is megale, is from the word we get mega church or megaphone. Big, great. You and I, listen carefully, may often be passive or so reserved in our worship of God with our thoughts wondering about all kinds of things, such as our dinner tonight, our lunch appointment, or the situation at work or at home, or family problems or financial struggles we are going through right now, or the Broncos if they are playing, or the Nuggets or the Rockies. But may I say to us that that is not the case with the participants of heavenly worship. whom John was given the glorious privilege to behold in the spiritual realm. These participants are passionate in their worship of the Lord of glory with everything they've got. They are a perfect example of what it means to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind, and with all your soul. In fact, throughout the book of Revelation, the Bible gives us a vivid and visual picture of the passionate manner in which angelic messengers and the redeemed saints of God carry out their God-given tasks or offer worship to God. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 2, the Bible gives us one example of an angel. The Bible says, "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals?'" And then in chapter 6, verse 10, we read of the redeemed saints crying out to God. And they said, and they cried out with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" And then in chapter 7, verse 9 to 10, we have another group from the tribulation. "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" An example from not from heaven, but from earth, is in Luke chapter 17. Remember when Jesus healed the 10 lepers? One returned and gave glory to God. Notice what the Bible says about him. In verse 15 of chapter 17, the Bible says, "Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan." Now, please notice this. The point here is not to be loud, not just to be loud for the sake of being loud. That's not what I'm teaching. The point here is to encourage you to be what? Passionate, not passive, in your worship of the God who created you, who saved you, who loves you, and who wants the very best for you, not only in this life, but also in the life to come. So, believer in Jesus, how will you describe your life of worship? Will you describe it as one that is passionate or one that is passive or preoccupied with all kinds of distractions? Your worship and my worship is to be passionate, not passive. Well, having convincingly spoken of the passion of the participants in heavenly worship, the Bible now confidently sets before us what true worship is all about. But you ask, what is true worship all about? Please listen carefully. True worship that puts a big smile on God's face focuses on the person and praise of the Lamb. That is why the Bible says in the last part of verse 12, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." How do you know? So the question is, yes, exactly. So notice first of all that the worship of the angels focuses on the person of God, the Lamb, Jesus himself. How do we know that? Well, the answer, notice how they purposefully and particularly focused on speaking about the worthiness of the person of Jesus Christ and his self-sacrifice of himself for your sins and my sins. Actually, the Lamb is the designation of the exalted and glorified Christ. It is the predominant designation of Jesus in Revelation. It is used 28 times. So you can say that the favorite name of Jesus in Revelation is the Lamb. That is the most dominant title, description of Jesus. The word worthy also means deserving or of weight, of worth. So the angel's passionate worship of the Lamb can be rendered as follows. Deserving is the Lamb that was slain. Of weight, of worth is the Lamb that was slain. Actually, the theme of worthiness of God and the Lamb dominated chapters 4 and 5 of Revelation. In chapter 4, verse 11, as the 24 elders cast their crowns before the throne of God, the Creator, the first words that came out of their mouths were, "Worthy are you, our Lord and our God." And then in Revelation chapter 5, begins with an earnest search of a worthy opener of the seal. Remember, I read that when it's the angel with a strong angel with a loud voice says, "Who is worthy to open the scroll?" And you see, the one worthy to open the scroll will have to match the worthiness of God the Father. That is why nobody was found at first, and the Bible tells us John was weeping, that nobody was found to match the worthiness of God the Father. And finally, the Lamb was the only one found worthy to open the scroll. As such, Revelation chapter 5 verse 9, the four living creatures and the 24 elders sang a new song beginning with the words, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and break its seal." So please listen, since God the Father and Christ the Lamb ascribe the same worth, it once again proves that what? Jesus is God and equal with God. We sang a new song today with the words, "So we pour out our praise to you only. All the earth will shout your praise." I want us to do that now. So please, if you are able, just for a minute, stand with me, and we will shout our praise to Jesus by saying, "Worthy is the Lamb." So if you are ready and you can shout it, let it roll from your heart. "Worthy is the Lamb." Thank you. Now notice that the worship of the angels, you can see now, focuses on the praise of Christ. In fact, their praise of Christ focuses on 7 qualities, which I can't explain all of them because I don't have the time. But I want to point to one of them. The first is their praise focuses on his power, dunamis, or dynamite. We get our English word dynamite. To the Lamb belongs power. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 24 that Christ is the power of God. I tell you, friends, the Lamb is not one who can plan but never perform it. Why? To him belongs the power not only to plan but also to perform. We can triumphantly and thankfully say of the Lamb, he is able. Indeed, he is more than able to accomplish what concerns you today and what concerns me today. Do you believe that? Yes. You see, the Lamb has power over demons, disease, death, and yes, over the devil. He has power to defend, to deliver you, and who are his own. He has power to defeat, to destroy, and demolish the strongholds of the enemies of your life and my life. And yes, he has power over the principalities, princes, presidents, prime ministers, and over all people. Yes, Jesus has power to protect and preserve his people. And yes, above all, he has power to solve the problems we face in our lives, even the impossible ones. My friend, may I say to you today, when you encounter the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are encountering one of supreme and supernatural power, whose power is unmatched and unrivaled. He's the only all-powerful God. The question to you today, as I bring this message to a close, is, do you desire to encounter the Lamb today? Do you long for His power to change you first and to change the circumstances in which you are facing today? Do you sincerely seek Him to break the shackles in your life? Shackles of alcohol addiction, drug addiction, pornography, suicidal thoughts, satanic strongholds. Do you trust Jesus today to free you from your chains? Chains of hopelessness, holding on to hurts of the past, joblessness, and going in and out of jail? If you trust Him, today you will see His power at work in your life. So how does this message apply to us today? If you are already a genuine born-again believer in Jesus Christ, this is how it must apply to you and to me. First, pray specifically for Jesus' help to enable you see things from His perspective. Why? He has given you eyes to see and ears to hear. Second, purpose in your heart today, in the power of the Holy Spirit, to be passionate in your worship of Jesus, not passive or preoccupied in your worship of Jesus with thoughts that are demanding your attention and distracting you from passionate worship of Him. And then third, plan to commit yourself to a life of worship which focuses more and more on the person of Christ and the praise of Christ. And then finally, pour out your heart and present your problems to Jesus. The problems you are facing today, you can come and present them to Jesus, believing that what? He's able to defeat your enemies, believing that He's able to defend and deliver you, and believing that He's able to do far more above and beyond all that you can think of for His praise. Now, if you are not a genuine born believer in Jesus Christ, may I humbly say to you today that you have a sin problem that you cannot solve. Even if you lived a thousand lifetimes, you cannot solve your sin problem. But thanks be to God, the Bible says what? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life, eternal life. So the ball is now in your court. Please, if you are not a believer in Jesus, come to Jesus today just as you are. You don't have to clean up yourself. Jesus will do that for you. Call today, confess to Jesus that you are a sinner, desperately in need of His salvation, which He's ready to offer to you. And then call upon His name with simple and sincere faith that He died for you on the cross, that He was buried to put away your sins, and that He rose again on the third day to bring you into a right standing with a holy God. And the Bible says what? You will be saved. So the ball is now in your court. Some of you have problems as believers in Jesus Christ. And if you want to see Jesus act on your behalf, take the step of faith and come forward, and we will pray for you here and see Jesus' power at work in your life and your circumstances. And anyone who doesn't believe in Jesus, you come here and I'll pray with you.